Let's read this poem together, everybody. When we look back and wonder how we ever made it through, we realize it is not because we have been clever, but because God has been wise. Not because we have been strong, but because God has been mighty. Not because we have been consistent, but because God has been faithful. I don't know about you, when I look at my own life, I'm amazed at the faithfulness of God. I realize it is not because of me. It's because of our Lord. God is faithful. Say that with me. God is faithful 100% of the time. Will you turn to your neighbor? Tell your neighbor, God is faithful 100% of the time. Today, we continue our series on knowing God. Last week, we discussed that God is immutable. He does not change. Today, we will discuss God is faithful. What do we mean by God is faithful? Right? Let's look at some verses, everybody. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. So the word faithful is connected with somebody fulfilling his or her promises. So what is the meaning of the word faithful? You will fulfill your, louder, your promises, your agreements. Everybody read this. Know therefore that the Lord, your God, He is God, the faithful God. You will notice the Bible described God as the faithful God. Meaning, He will keep His covenant, His loving kindness to a thousand generations with those who love Him and keep His covenants. God is always faithful. So what is the meaning of the word faithful, everybody? The word faithful means steadfast, dependable, loyal, keeps His word, keeps His promises, trustworthy, reliable. Now let me ask you, are you faithful? People today do not understand faithfulness. Years ago, people can shake hands and that's it. In Tagalog, usapang lalaki. A deal is a deal. You don't have to sign. Today, people borrow money. They don't even bother to pay back. You have all kinds of contracts. And people are trying to run away from the agreement. Look at the marital situation. I was looking at some statistics. Today, in Russia, the divorce rate is over 65%. In United Kingdom, it's over 50%. In the United States, it's 50%. In short, for every 10 marriages, 5 will end in divorce. Now, may I ask you a question? When you got married, did you make a promise? What was that promise? In good times, in bad times, in health, or in sickness, till death do we part. Remember? You said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. What has happened to faithfulness? Even among Christians, we've forgotten the meaning of the word faithfulness. I've heard of volunteers. I've heard of so-called Christians. They promise, okay, I'll see you tomorrow, 8 o'clock. Comes tomorrow, 8 o'clock. Do they show up? They don't show up. I will be involved in this ministry. I will be there. They don't show up. I'll be teaching Sunday school. When it's time for them to teach, they don't show up. You see, it's a character issue. Faithfulness has to be 100%. Let me ask you, if you are honest 95% of the time, and only 5% of the time you are not honest, what are you? Louder. How many lies do you have to lie? How many times do you have to tell a lie to be called a liar? Louder. Have you lied? Faithfulness. How many times do you have to be unfaithful? How do you like riding on an airplane and the airline company guarantees you 99% safety? 1% we may crash. Will you ride that airplane? Why? What do you want? 100%. God is faithful. He wants us to be faithful. Will you turn to your neighbor? Tell your neighbor, God wants you to be faithful. This time, say it with meaning. Look at your neighbor. God wants you to be faithful. God is faithful 100%. Say that with me. God is faithful 100%. I praise God. He is completely reliable. I am not reliable. But God is completely reliable. Dependable. Let me ask you, are you reliable? Can God entrust you a ministry? Can God entrust you something that He wants you to do? Can CCF entrust you with a ministry? I tell our pastors, I remind our pastors, we are to be accountable to our people and to God. When our pastors, when we ask them to do something, and they say yes, they better do it. Let me ask you, if you are working in your company, and you tell your boss you're going to do it, do you do it on time? That's the meaning of faithfulness. When you tell your company, I will finish the job, do you finish it on time? Do you do it well? The same thing with pastors. The same thing with D group leaders. When you are given a job, do you do it well? Do you do it properly? That, my friend, is called faithfulness. And God does not call us to be successful. He asks us to be faithful. Are you faithful? How can you be faithful if you don't understand what it means to be faithful to God and to each other? And what does it mean God is faithful to us? Everybody read this. All of God's acts are consistent with all of His attributes. No attribute contradicts any other, but all harmonize and blend into each other. God, being who He is, cannot cease to be what He is. He is at once faithful, immutable, so all His words and acts must be and must remain what? Faithful. In other words, God has to be consistent. Therefore, when you look at God, you have to realize God is not just love. God is also holy. God is not just merciful. God is just. Therefore, God deals with sin. Because God is all of the above. God has to be true to Himself. And God is faithful. What He promised, He will do. God gives us warnings. God tells us, don't do this. If you do this, judgment will come. So all the promises of God will come true. All the threatenings of God, all the warnings of God will also come true. Because God is what? Faithful. Let me ask you, do you believe God will fulfill all of His promises? Have you claimed God's promises? You see, the problem is this. Most of us do not know the Lord. And that's why I submit to you, this Bible study series on who God is most important. Because what you think about God will impact your life. If you don't know God, how will you love Him? If you don't love God, it will affect your behavior. Let me give you an example. If you think that your wife or your husband is unfaithful, are you thinking? You think your wife or your husband is unfaithful. How would that affect your behavior? Next time you see your husband, you see your wife, what will you do? That's what you think. You see, a lot of people have wrong ideas about God. Therefore, their relationship with God is affected because they don't know who God is. I'm going to share with you certain things about God. Today, what's the topic? God is what? Faithful. How many percent? 100%. Let's read Lamentations chapter 3. My text will center on Lamentations. Let's read that together. I am the man who has seen affliction. My goodness, what kind of affliction? I have become a laughingstock to all my people. Their mocking song all the day. My soul has been rejected from peace. I have forgotten happiness. I say my strength has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. If you talk about somebody depressed, would you say this guy was depressed? Look at his wordings. This is like a funeral dirge. This is like a funeral song. He's saying, look at verse 18. My strength has perished. My hope from the Lord is gone. I tell you, that is very sad. Now, you may not relate to this, but let me give you an example. When do you experience this kind of experiences? Look at verse 17. My soul has been rejected from peace. I have forgotten happiness. Imagine to say that in Tagalog. Nakalimutan ko na anong ibig sabihin ng maging masaya. I've forgotten. Sad person. Now, let me ask you. When will this happen in your life? What you learn about God becomes very important when you are emotionally down like this fellow. This is written by Jeremiah. How many of you have read the book of Lamentation? You have read. How many of you have not read the book of Lamentation? You have not read. Alright, what's your assignment? Remember I told you in January. Between January and December, what must you do? You must read the entire Bible. Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Louder. Really? You believe? If you believe the Bible is the Word of God, what must you do? Study. Not just read, study. Because there are many promises in the Bible. If you don't claim them, you are the lost. So when you study the Bible, you are not doing God a favor. You are doing yourself a favor. Because the Bible has many promises. In my life, by the grace of God, I have claimed God's promises. And I can tell you something. God's promises are always true. As sure as the sun will rise from the east, when God says something, He will do it. You claim His promises. But you got to learn how to do it. Look at this verse. Lamentations has 5 chapters. It is written in a poetical form. Very poetic. What do I mean? Chapter 1, 2, 3, 4 is written by means of acrostic. What is acrostic? In the English alphabets, how many letters do you have? English. Louder. You know, this group is pretty smart. 26. In the Hebrew alphabets, how many letters? 22. Chapter 1 has 22 verses. Chapter 2 has 22 verses. You know why? Every verse begins with an alphabet of the Hebrew language. A, it begins with their Hebrew Aleph. Then you have Beth. Chapter 3 has 66 chapters, 66 verses. Why? It's called triplets. Every A is written 3 times. So you have 66 verses. So this is an amazing book. It's written in poetry form, but it expresses the heart of the writer. This is written by Jeremiah. He was brokenhearted. Why was he brokenhearted? He loved the people. He preached to the nation of Israel for 40 years. He kept telling them, God loves you. You need to repent. There is judgment coming if you don't repent. They refused to listen to him. They refused to repent. The book of Lamentation tells us what happened to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was destroyed. He was crying. The people became captives. They were exiled to Babylon. He saw children dying. He saw wives. He saw all kinds of people. He saw all kinds of sinfulness. Women ravaged. He was crying from his heart. And he was so discouraged. He says, my strength has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. What's happening? Now let me ask you, when will this happen in your life? For some people, when they discover that their husband is not faithful, maybe. For some people, when they have financial problems. If you are a businessman, you wake up one morning to discover all your money is gone. You discover that the bank is about to foreclose everything you have. You are down. Do you understand? Now, what do you do when you are down? Look at what he did. Verse 19. Everybody read. Remember my affliction and my wandering. The wormwood and bitterness. The wormwood comes from a plant. It's used for insecticide. It is bitter. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. The most important key verse, the transition. Everybody read verse 21. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. I praise God. The Bible did not stop in verse 20. He says, this I recall to my mind. I began to process. I began to think. I began to meditate. Boom! I have hope. What happened? When you think properly about God, you develop hope. When you think improperly about God, you get discouraged. People don't realize the power of the mind. Can I tell you something? How does Satan tempt you? Satan doesn't appear at night, like the movies. Buka! Sumunod kayo sa akin. No, he does not do that. Can I tell you how Satan attacks you? The Bible tells us it's in the mind. He gives you wrong ideas about God. Once you believe falsehood, you are in big trouble. Let me show you the power of wrong thinking. Take for example, you are not sick. You went to a doctor. The doctor misdiagnosed you. You don't have cancer. The doctor tells you, you have cancer. Now be honest with me. The moment you hear, you have cancer. You don't have cancer. But because you believe you have cancer, how will you feel? Louder. You feel bad. Why? Imagine, something that is not true is now controlling your life. You see, many people don't understand the importance of knowing God, studying the Bible, because the Bible is truth. Many times, Satan will lie to you. And when he lies to you, you behave in accordance to the lies. The power of lie is just as powerful as the power of truth. And many people today do not know the truth. They are following the lies of Satan. So you now understand why they don't like to attend Bible study. You now understand why their lifestyle is full of sin. Because they are fed what? Lies. Satan will tell you, if you commit sin, it's okay. Everyone is doing it. Satan will tell you, why do you believe in Jesus? There are many ways to heaven. Why do you want to focus on Jesus? And once you believe those lies, you behave accordingly. And that's why Satan does not want people to study the Bible. Because he wants to enslave you. Well, I praise God. Jeremiah did not stop. Jeremiah said, verse 21, this I recall. He remembered the promise of God. Then he discovered, his memory brought back, everybody read, the Lord's loving kindness never ceases. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in Him. He began to think. Do not judge God based on circumstances. You must judge circumstances based on who God is. You see, the tendency is to arrive at the wrong conclusion. Lord, I'm having financial problem. I'm having family problem. I'm having health problem. Therefore, ergo, you don't love me. You are not good. Satan would be so excited if you come up with a conclusion like that. You are judging God based on your experiences. Ladies and gentlemen, you judge your experience based on who God is. So if you're having problems, you must remember, everybody, the Lord's what? Loving kindness never ceases. His compassions, they never fail. I love verse 23. They are what? New every morning. The Bible says the faithfulness of God, the love of God is new. God has fresh supply every day for you. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope. You know, this verse tells us something. Whether you like it or not, all of you are hoping on something. Let me explain. All of you, including me, we have objects of hope. What do I mean? Complete this sentence. I will be happy if. Okay, fill it. Fill in the blank. I will be happy if. Now, what is that if? Can I tell you? Sometimes you don't even know. We were counseling a lady, my wife and I. And in the process of counseling, I always want to expose the foundational problem of believers. You see, this lady was depressed. Her hope was in a man. And the boyfriend left her. As we went deeper, we discovered her hope is marriage. In her mind, if I am married, I will be happy. She didn't even notice. But as you discuss, as you analyze your own life, all of you have objects of hope. Most of us, the object of our hope is based on people. If only I will marry this person. If only this person will do this to me, I will be happy. Now, can I tell you something? What's the problem with people? They are not dependable. They are not faithful. Therefore, if that is your premise, the object of your hope is not God. And all of you have objects of hope. If it is people, if it is career, if it is a marriage. By the way, if you don't believe me, ask people who are married right now. You are sitting around married people, ask them. getting married. Are you happy? Praise God, okay? But my point is this. People who are married, they know that the best husband, the best wife will still disappoint them. Now, if you are single, you are now thinking, I will be happy if my girlfriend will love me. I will be happy if my boyfriend. Can I tell you something? With that kind of a setup, you are doomed for disappointment. Your Christian life will be like roller coaster. When people will meet up to your expectations, you are happy. When they fail you, you are down. My friend, that is not good Christianity. Let me ask you, who is your hope? Therefore, based on this verse, you got to do three things. My message is very simple this morning. What's the main point? God is faithful. How many percent? 100%. Therefore, you must do three things. Number one, hope in Him. Say that with me. Hope. God is faithful, 100%. God is faithful, 100%. Therefore, what's number one? Hope in Him. Number two, wait on Him. Say that with me. Wait on Him. Look at the next verse. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the person who seeks Him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. You see, Jeremiah said, because God is faithful, I will hope in Him, not in people. While hoping in Him, I'm going to wait upon Him. The Bible says, it is good to those who wait for Him. And then number three, he tells us, I will stop complaining. Look at verse 27. Please read. It is good for a man that he should bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone, be silent, since he has laid it upon him. Because God is faithful. Why am I having problem now? I don't understand. But I'm going to hope in God. I'm going to wait upon Him. And I'm going to stop complaining. Alright? Three things. What must you do? Hope. Number two? Wait. Number three? Stop complaining. Turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor. Because God is faithful, what must you do? Hope in God. Number two? Wait. Number three? Stop complaining. Everybody? Simple message. God is faithful how many percent of the time? 100% of the time. Because God is faithful 100% of the time, how must you respond to Him? Number one, hope in Him. Number two, wait on Him. Number three, stop complaining. Is this easy to do or hard to do? That's why you need to be prepared now. When the problem comes, you need to apply this. Everybody read this. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. You see, my security is never in my faithfulness. My security is in whose faithfulness? God. The Bible says, if I'm not faithful, God remains to be what? Faithful. I heard the story of what happened in Armenia. In 1988, you have to understand, something catastrophic happened. There was a father by the name of Samuel. He has a son whose name was Arman. Samuel will tell his son every day, son, I love you. I will always be there for you. He does that to his son every day. I love you. I will always be there for you. Well, that particular morning, he told this son, I love you. I will always be there for you. Go to school. There was a massive earthquake. Thousands died. He rushed home. He checked his family. He checked his wife. The wife was okay. He ran to the school. When he got to the school, he noticed the school building. It was a rubble. He cried. But he did not stop there. He located the spot where his son was, and he began to dig and dig and dig. Other parents came. One father asked him, what are you doing? He said, I'm digging. I'm looking for my son. One wife told him, it's too late. It's too dangerous. The whole thing can collapse. He said, will you help me? He kept digging. Eventually, a fireman came. The fireman asked him, sir, what are you doing? I'm digging. I'm looking for my son. Sir, it's dangerous. Fire can happen anytime. There's fire all over the place. I'm looking for my son. Will you help me? He kept digging. Throughout the night, he kept digging. The next morning, he kept digging. The next morning, many parents came with pictures of their children, to be placed on the rubble. He kept digging and digging. Finally, he heard a faint voice. Papa, Papa. He began to dig furiously. And then eventually, he saw a hole. He was able to dig through a hole. He heard a voice again. Papa, Papa. He said, Arman, is that you? The father said, it's me, Papa. So he dug even harder and finally said, come out. Arman said, no, Daddy. My classmates must come out first because I told them not to worry. I told them, you will come for me. That morning, 14 students were saved because their father was faithful to his commitment. Now let me ask you, if an earthly father will fulfill his commitment to his son, how much more will our heavenly Father do for us? That's why you got to understand God is faithful. He will always fulfill his commitments. But God being faithful does not mean you will not have problems. Let's read this. Psalm 119:75. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous. In faithfulness, you have afflicted me. You know, the Bible promises, whom the Lord loves, he will discipline. And that is my security. Because when I don't walk with the Lord, I am guaranteed something. God will discipline me. That's my security. Not in my faithfulness, in his faithfulness. Jeremiah understood this. The people were being disciplined by the Lord. God told them, if you don't follow me, judgment will come. You will be scattered all over the world. You know what happened to the Jewish people? Babylon came and uprooted all of them, most of them, to Babylon. Over the Babylonian Empire. When God says something, he will do it. And many times he says, I love you so much. You are not walking in righteousness. I'm going to discipline you. But then in the midst of discipline, you repent. Everybody look at this promise. Please read. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice how the word faithful is used. The Bible tells us, once you are convicted of sins, what must you do? If we confess our sins, to whom? To God. His promise, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you know Satan would always like to whisper to you? It's too simple. Do you know why many Christians are not sure of going to heaven? Do you know why many Christians, they live a defeated life? They are always down. They cannot overcome sin. Because their past is paralyzing them. They cannot let go of their past. Because Satan will always tell them, you know, you did this before, you did this before, you are hopeless. Ladies and gentlemen, look at the promise of God. Read that one more time. If we, what? Confess our sins to him, to God, what will he do? He is what? Faithful and righteous. You know why? He died for us. It is only righteous for him to forgive us. He paid for our sins. Jesus paid for our sins. So God is only faithful and it is only proper for God to forgive us because there is no double jeopardy. He died for us, everybody read. And to cleanse us from what? Now let me ask you. Have you experienced the forgiveness of God? Louder. Are you sure today when you die, you'll go to heaven? Louder.
Yes.
You know why? What happened to your sins? Have you confessed them before God? I tell you, I do not keep long accounts. Some of you have a bad habit. You commit sin on Monday, you want to confess on Sunday. You never do that. The moment I do something wrong and God convicts me, I say, Lord, forgive me. The moment I have an argument with my wife or I don't respond properly and God convicts me, I say, Lord, this is wrong. You see, when you confess, you admit, Lord, this is wrong. You don't give all kinds of reasoning. Lord, you know, I did this, because of that. No. Don't be a lawyer. When you are before God, don't be a lawyer. Right? Just be humble. Lord, I am the prosecuted one. I am wrong. I admit. I plead guilty as charged. But Lord, I repent. Thank you for forgiving me. Move. And you will discover something. Because you experience God's forgiveness, you begin to sin less and less and less. The power of sin over you is broken. Because there's no more charge against us. Hope in God. Let me ask you, what is your hope when it comes to going to heaven? What are you hoping on? You see, for some of you, you're hoping on religion. Don't ever hope that CCF will bring you to heaven. You know why? CCF cannot save you. Who alone can save you? Jesus. No church leaders can save you. Only Jesus. He alone can promise and fulfill His promise. What must you do, therefore? Number one, hope. Number two, wait on Him. Number three, stop complaining. So when you're having problems and you don't understand why, what must you do? Number one, hope. Number two, wait. Number three, stop complaining. Everybody, let's review this again. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the person who seeks Him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he should bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone, be silent, since he has laid it upon him. Somebody called me this week. Peter, I'm down, I'm depressed. This was a problem. I have debts. I have lots of debts. I said, what's the problem? Well, the creditors, some of them are from CCF, and they are bothering me. They are calling me. I said, I praise God for you because you could have run away from paying them. But because you are a Christian, you committed to pay them. He has been paying his debt for the last 5 years. His debt was into millions of pesos. He has pared it down to less than half already. But he said, I'm tired. I feel like giving up. You know what I told him? Something like this. I said, it is good for a man that he should bear the yoke in his youth. I said, don't complain. I said, do you remember years ago when I warned you, don't go into this business? You see, it is a business that will guarantee you 20% per annum. Now, let me ask you, do you know any business that will pay you 20% for your capital? If there is something, somebody promising you like that, look at me. Don't touch it. He didn't believe me. He got into this business. So I said, you are reaping the consequences of not obeying, the consequences of not listening to counsel. But I said, God loves you. Can you imagine if you don't learn this lesson now and you are 60 years old, and with all your money when you are 60, you now invest it with a scheme like this, and everything will be gone. I said, are you happy now? You are having a hard time? Yes, Pastor. Yes, Pastor. I said, you should be thankful that at a young age, you are learning the lessons of God. You're having trials. You got to do the following. Number one, hope in God. He's going to help you. I praise God for this brother. He's faithful. He's paying off his debt. Slowly but surely. Number two, what must you do? Wait on Him. You don't always know all the reasons, but in the meantime, wait on Him. What's number three? Stop complaining. Now, tell your neighbor. Hope, wait, stop complaining. Tell your neighbor. Everybody read this. Therefore, those who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Sometimes I do not know why God allows certain things to happen. Last Wednesday, for the first time in my life, I never experienced that kind of pain. I had stomach pain. I could not sleep. I tried lying down on my left side. It was painful. I tried on my right side. It was painful. I could not sleep. I was crying to the Lord. I said, Lord, please help me. Lord, what are you teaching me? And then the Lord reminded me, hello, your message. What's my message? Hope. Wait. Do not complain. Okay, Lord. I said, don't complain. But Lord, ang sakit talaga. Sakit. I don't know what to do. I never had this experience. So my wife said, let's call Dr. Glenn. You know who is Dr. Glenn, right? He's the doctor for everything. I couldn't even talk to Dr. Glenn. My wife can talk to him. I could not talk. I was in pain. I couldn't do anything. I was sweating, cold sweat. You know, when you're in pain, it's like torture. Then my wife said, you know, my husband, blah, blah, blah. Doctor said, well, maybe give him antacid or what. If it doesn't work, bring him to the emergency hospital. When I heard that, I am not going to go to the emergency room, okay? But I couldn't say anything, you know? So I took antacid. After 1 hour, what effect? Nothing. Bowing down. And then my wife finally said, honey, do you know how to vomit? I said, how do you vomit? She taught me how. You know, I'm not bulimic, but if you need how to vomit, I will teach you now. So I vomited 1 o'clock in the morning. Understand? 1 o'clock. I was hoping after vomiting, I can sleep. So I felt better, okay? After everything's up, I lay down. Oh, sakit pa. This position. Oh, sakit pa. Like praying, you know, prostrate. Have you tried sleeping like this? Every position. Finally, I discovered one position. Sitting down. So I sat down. It is the least painful. So I sat down. That's how I tried to sleep. Now, needless to say, I did not sleep. I have a hard time sleeping. I'll just go in and out of my sleeping. The next morning, I had to leave early because I had to counsel somebody. I promised to counsel a brother. So I had to go. After counseling, I came back. But you know, my stomach pain was basically gone. So I went to the office that afternoon. But remember, when you are having problems, what are the three things you must do? Number one, hope. Lord, you got to save me. Number two, wait, Lord, what are you teaching me? I don't understand. Number three, stop complaining. Wow. Read this. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation provide the way of escape, that you will be able to endure it. The word for temptation in the Greek language is perasmo. It can be translated as trials. So let's translate it as trials. No trials has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. So God is telling me, Peter, you are not alone. People have the same problems as you. Okay, Lord, what must you do? Number one, hope. Number two, wait. Number three, but can I tell you something? That incident Wednesday night changed my life. Can I tell you the blessings? I went to the office on Thursday afternoon. I saw my secretary, Bam. Now, Bam has been sick lately. And I could not empathize. She has a stomach problem. When I saw her, I said, Bam, I fully understand you. You see, I don't understand why she has to be absent just for stomach pain. Now I understand. When you have severe stomach pain, you cannot sleep, you cannot work. So I told all the staff in front of my room. I said, now I fully understand. Bam. Bam, when you're sick, it's okay to be absent. Okay? It's okay. And then the second thing I discover is this. I am one of the most blessed person. You know why? I was so happy on Thursday. You know why I'm so happy? I don't have stomach ache anymore. When I reach home, my wife cooks something, it does not matter what she will cook, burnt offering or not burnt offering, whatever she cooks, the fact that I can eat, I say, praise God. And then that night I could sleep. I realized, Lord, what a blessing. I slept. The next morning, I felt good. Wow, I have health. I realized, mababaw ang kaligayahan ko. I realized, wow, I'm such a blessed person. I realized there are people today who cannot sleep. There are people today who are in pain. I look at myself, I said, Lord, I thank you. I have health. I can eat. I can sleep. What more do I want? Praise God. I said, Lord, I'm happy. And you know what? God changed my life. I'm a happy person. I'm a very happy person. You know why? Look at our blessing. Do you realize there are people today who cannot sleep? They're in pain. Do you realize there are people today who are so down, they don't have peace? Look at us. Can you sleep tonight? I realize sleep is a blessing. I tell you, sleep is such a wonderful thing. Ah, tonight I'm going to sleep after the message tonight. I'm going to sleep. God is good. Yes or no? Three things you must do. What's number one? Hope. What's number two? You wait. I did not understand why. But the Lord told me, you will learn. I learned a lot. What's number three? Stop grumbling. Stop complaining. Are you ready to hope in the Lord? Are you ready to wait upon Him? Are you ready to stop complaining? You know, my daughter called me years ago. Last Sunday, did I talk about my son last Sunday? Right? Today it's about my daughter. My daughter told me, Daddy, I have this boyfriend or this boy. This man, he's interested in me. But I promise you, I will never give him my heart or say yes to anybody without your approval. You see, my daughter understood God is faithful. The object of my daughter's happiness is not marriage. It is not a boyfriend. So she does not mind following biblical principle. So I went to San Francisco. I had dinner with the boyfriend and my wife, the four of us. And I began to ask him certain questions. I said, how did you come to know the Lord? Or maybe put it bluntly, if you die, where will you go? Something like that. So I gave his testimony. And then I said, after coming to Jesus, what were some changes in your life? You see, I've learned something. You never attack the boyfriend or girlfriend of your children. If you do that, they will turn against you. So I'm applying my own principle. I wanted my daughter to hear his answer. I wanted my daughter to see him based on who he is by my questioning. I asked him about his future. What's your plan? To make a long story short, after the dinner, my wife told me, honey, I think he will have indigestion. I said, I don't think so. I said, I was very nice. I was very nice to the man. In fact, the man told me I will become his disciple. So I was helping the man. But I told my daughter that evening, I said, honey, this man, I don't think he's the right one for you. As of now, he's not the one for you. You know, my daughter cried. And I realized I love my daughter. When my daughter cries, I cry. I said, honey, you need to learn to wait. But because my daughter's faith is in God. She believes in God's faithfulness. Her source of happiness is not in a boyfriend or in marriage. She was willing. So she slowed down. 2 years ago, two Christmas ago, she came. Last Christmas. She said, Dad, and we talked together. I said, how is this young man? I've been discipling him. I said, Dad, he's growing in the Lord. The pastor is not trying to mentor him. I said, honey, but I tell you, I still don't feel comfortable about this man. My daughter said, Daddy, I will break off our relationship. I will tell him we won't see each other anymore for a while. So they broke off. My daughter cried. I cried. When my daughter reached San Francisco, her MU, you know what is MU? Her MU picked her up, and she told her MU. Her MU said, of course, he was sad. But can I tell you something? God is amazing. Many months later, my daughter met another man. This man, again, I had lunch. We talked. And I told my daughter, I like this man. And I said, he's okay. My daughter said, Daddy, it's too early. He's not even courting me. I said, you watch. I know man. I said, I know. The fact that he went with us to church and he wants to spend time with us. I said, I know man. You know, it's true. He began courting her. So we would, you know, when I go there, we'll spend time together. And I began mentoring two men. Understand? I'm now an expert in trans-Pacific discipleship. Well, to make a story short, last year, this second man, his name is Jeff. He called up long distance. He texted me, Mr. Tanchi, can I call you? I told my wife, honey, I have a feeling what this is all about. So I called my daughter long distance without telling her what's going to happen. I said, baby, how do you like this fellow so far? Oh, dad, he's very godly. How do you compare this with the other fellow? Dad, there's no comparison. I said, no comparison. How come before you were having a hard time saying goodbye? Oh, daddy, you know how we are. We're emotionally involved. We are blind. We cannot see. But now, daddy, it's very clear. This man is okay. I said, oh, really? You like him? Is he good? Is he faithful? Yes, daddy. Yes, yes. Okay. So a few days later, he called me. When he called me, he said, Mr. Tanshi, is it okay with you if I will propose to your daughter? I asked my wife before, shall I give him a hard time or an easy time? So I said, yes. I said, you have my blessing. Well, this June 30, they'll be getting married. Did you see the picture? Is God faithful? You won't see me next week. My son is getting married June 16. They wanted to save me money. It's called back-to-back wedding. This is June 30. Jeff is a godly man. I want you to pray for him. I want you to pray for my daughter. I want you to pray for my son. Because they need God's power to live the Christian life properly. Will you promise to pray for my family? You pray that God will protect them from sin. You pray for Jeff, that he will be holy, that he will walk in the ways of the Lord. You pray for my daughter, that she will be holy. By the grace of God, they are practicing Christian ethics, Christian character. But I want you to pray for them. Will you promise to pray for my family? Because I always tell people, we are under attack. Christian leaders are always under attack. Without your prayer, we will be finished. We need your prayers. As we close, will you read this verse, please? His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. God is very faithful. He promised to reward those who are faithful to him. Many years ago, Queen Elizabeth of England awarded the British Empire Medal to an ordinary man. His name was Jones. Jones was a postman. His father was a postman. His grandfather was a postman. They've been doing the postal service for 150 years. But Jones was given the special medal, the British Empire Medal. You know why? Because for 43 consecutive years, he was never absent from work. Typhoons, no typhoon, snow or no snow, he would deliver the mail. Can I tell you something? If the Queen of England will take notice of an ordinary postman, how much more will the God of heaven reward those who are faithful to him? If an earthly sovereign will reward faithful service, how much more will the King of Kings, who is always faithful, take notice of your faithfulness? My prayer is this. God is faithful. Let us be faithful to him. What must you do? Three things. Number one, hope. Number two, wait. Number three, stop grumbling. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we come before you acknowledging our unfaithfulness. You are faithful, we are not faithful. Forgive us when we doubt your faithfulness. Thank you for reminding all of us tonight, you are faithful 100% of the time. Help us to realize someday you will be the one to reward our faithfulness. Help us to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen.